Mark 11, 1 through 19. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'Its master needs it, and he will send it back right away.'" They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around them said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. After he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12. The next day, after leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. From far away, he noticed a fig tree in leaf, so he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing except leaves, since it wasn't the season for figs. So he said to it, "No one will ever again eat your fruit." His disciples heard this. They came into Jerusalem. After entering the temple, he threw out those who were selling and buying there. He pushed over the tables used for currency exchange and the chairs of those who sold doves. He didn't allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He taught them, "Hasn't it been written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you've turned it into a hideout for crooks?" The chief priests and legal experts heard this and tried to find a way to destroy him. They regarded him as dangerous because the whole crowd was enthralled at his teaching. When it was evening, Jesus and his disciples went outside the city. "For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us." Thanks be to God. And if you will please stand for hymn 146, "Lord Jesus, Come and Overturn."
Today we celebrate Palm Sunday. Sunday. And I'm going to invite those of you who are holding palms to wave them just anytime you feel like it. So right now is a great time to do it. And even through the sermon, as you hear me talk about the way of Jesus, the path of Jesus, if I say Hosanna, those would all be good clues or cues to listen for. And you can help interact with this story by reminding us that this way of Jesus is a way lined with palms. Now, of course, these aren't palms. And we stopped buying palms years ago. We were buying those eco palms. We felt really good about ourselves, I think, for a number of years, and then realized the eco palms were being shipped all the way from South America. Didn't seem so eco anymore at that point. And so one year we were just like, well, what if we just pick up what falls on the ground here? That's what they did. That's why they were palms, not because there's anything magical about palms, but because that's what was there. So now we have sword ferns and we have cedar and we have all sorts of beautiful things that fall here in Cascadia. Now, you might be confused by why we're celebrating Palm Sunday right now, smack dab in the middle of Lent. It is completely out of order. With an asterisk. It is out of order according to a liturgical calendar that the institutional church laid upon the Bible many, many hundreds of years ago. But it is precisely in order for our moving through the Gospel of Mark. One of the things that we have loved about being in the narrative lectionary for a lot of years now is the way it takes us through the scriptural story in sort of an arc, starting with the Hebrew Bible and all the way through the Gospels. And we get to hear the story in the order that it was given, especially once we get to the Gospels. Well, I noticed this a couple years ago when we were in John, when all of a sudden we got to Palm Sunday / Passion Sunday, which is traditionally celebrated the Sunday before Easter. We got there, and all of a sudden, we jumped back in John. I was like, wait a second, that's out of order. Why are we jumping back? Well, we were jumping back because there were some higher church churches that really didn't like when the narrative lectionary started by keeping the narrative order and swapping the order of Palm Sunday. And I was like, well, I am a Mennonite. And we can switch that order. We are not bound to the liturgical calendar that was imposed upon the gospel. We are free as Mennonites to actually follow the gospel in the order that it was given to us. So I vowed then that I wasn't going to miss the next opportunity to tell the story in its right order. So we are telling the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem. In part, we are telling it in order, because everything that comes after Jesus entering Jerusalem is impacted by the fact that Jesus has entered Jerusalem. So we've got some scripture readings for the next couple of Sundays. And if you read them not having read the entry, they don't make as much sense. They don't have such a fine point on them as if you read them in the context of Jesus having entered Jerusalem. Everything changes once Jesus enters Jerusalem, once he arrives. Everything changes. Our season of Lent here at Seattle Mennonite, we've been celebrating and the theme, A Way Together. See, there it is, A Way. A Way Together. And that is the Jesus way, we have said. The Jesus way is a way that is built more for a we than a me. The way of Jesus is something that we walk together as a community, as a collective. And today in our story, we also learn that the Jesus way is a way that leads into Jerusalem. It's not just a lollygag through the wilderness. There is a destination for this way, and that destination is Jerusalem. It is a way that leads directly into the heart of the empire. It's a way that leads right to where the powers that be, the political powers that be, are convened and doing their dirty deeds. Which makes me extra grateful, given that this is a way of confrontation with political power. Makes me extra grateful that it is a way together. Because to show up in Jerusalem, then or now, and my goodness, how strange that we can still be talking about Jerusalem 2,000 years later, and literally it has similar implications, confrontation with the powers, violent, oppressive, occupying powers. To show up in Jerusalem then or now, to show up in Washington, D.C., the seat of our own government's powers, or anywhere where the powers are doing their violent, oppressive thing, to show up alone would be terrifying. It would be ineffective, probably. And I might not be able to muster the will or courage to do it by myself, to show up in the seat of power. But to show up together, to show up as part of a community, as Mennonites did in Washington, D.C., just in January with Mennonite Action, well, that seems a little less terrifying, maybe not an elimination of terrifying, but a little less terrifying than showing up alone, a little more effective, a little more powerful in its witness to the world around and to the powers that be, and a little more doable for lots of folks who maybe never would have gone on their own. I wouldn't be hanging out at the federal building on my own very often, but I've done it with y'all a number of times, and that makes it doable. The Jesus way is a way together, and it is a way that is lined with palms that lead into Jerusalem. And suddenly, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, the stakes are much, much higher. Because Jesus doesn't just enter Jerusalem on a random Tuesday. Jesus enters Jerusalem at Passover, when pilgrims from all over the land have been making their way toward Jerusalem, convening on Jerusalem for the Passover. So they've made this pilgrimage to this sacred site, the temple, in order to celebrate Passover with their community. Well, Rome trembles in its boots at Passover time, right? Because the Roman occupiers are there in Jerusalem, and the occupied people are descending upon Jerusalem en masse, right? And they're not just descending upon Jerusalem at one time, but they are going to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, to literally tell the story of their liberation from an oppressive empire of yore, Egypt, right? That's the story of the Passover, as how they gained liberation and freedom from an empire. And now they're coming to the heart of the empire, where they are being occupied, to remember and tell that story, that our God is a liberator and our people is a liberated people. So now you can feel it, right? The Roman occupiers in Jerusalem are shaking in their boots every year at Passover. And this year, when Jesus comes in on a palm-lined path, is no exception. Tensions are high. His entry in this way is political street theater. That's what it is. It's a protest. It's a march. It's not so much a religious ceremony as it is a political affront. It's a deliberate subversion of Pilate's entry into Jerusalem around the same time on the other side of the city. So as Jesus approaches this on the eastern side of the city, Pilate is approaching from the western side, is making a grand triumphal entry as the political power. And Jesus making his own triumphal entry making his own triumphal entry. Do you know how much time was spent in our story talking about that donkey, that colt? There's a lot of ink spilled about the thing that Jesus was going to ride into that city. You know why that's important? Because it wasn't a steed. It wasn't a war horse. It was very deliberately, not just a donkey, but a baby donkey. This is political street theater. This is a snub at the procession that's happening on the other side of the city. It is a direct snub of Rome's occupying military and political power over. And when they shout, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God, Hosanna in the highest," that is a direct subversion of what Pilate is calling for on the other side of the city. He is calling to be recognized as the Son of God, right? That's what political powers were understood as. They were divine beings. And on the other side of the city is Jesus. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Not that one. Not that one over there. This one. This one riding on a baby donkey. Not getting the red carpet treatment, but the forest debris treatment. That's literally where I got mine, was forest debris yesterday. So Passover is a volatile time, and now Jesus has come in to Jerusalem. The Jesus way is a way together, as we have been saying all Lent, and it is a way lined with palms that leads to the Jerusalems of our day. This is the way that we are on. This is what discipleship sounds like, looks like, smells like, tastes like in our own world. It looks like political street theater and confrontation with the powers that be and direct disruptive action. Because of course, as the story goes on, Jesus enters Jerusalem. He scopes the scene at the temple. It tells us it's late at night, so there's not many people around. This is clearly a reconnaissance mission. I've done one of those before getting arrested. Let's just go see what it looks like before we show up on the day. Goes in, scopes the scene. Okay, heads back out to Bethany, comes in the next day, and boy, does Jesus disrupt business as usual. For the sake of challenging the empire's power, the violent, oppressive power of the empire. And what he does is indeed disruptive to business as usual, and it is not polite, as a callback to last week. It's not polite. It calls to mind for me Seattle City Council chambers this week and advocates for the asylees and refugee seekers who have been utterly abandoned by all of us and by our governments in Tukwila, and the one United Methodist Church that has just opened its doors and its parking lot to literally hundreds now who are stuck. So when advocates showed up in our city council chambers this week and disrupted business as usual, well, first of all, they just tried to make public comment and they were shut down at 20 minutes. I won't get into Seattle city politics at this point. They were shut down, but they were disrupted, and ultimately six of them were arrested at the direction of our own District 5 council member, Kathy Moore. So that happened this week, a disruption of business as usual. It makes me think of when I-5 was shut down for ceasefire in Gaza, and I know that they're pursuing, trying to figure out who those people were and maybe come forward with charges. What Jesus does in Jerusalem, it's not polite and it's not respectful. It disrupts business as usual because business as usual needs to be disrupted. He overturns tables, throwing things on the ground. Makes a scene and makes a mess and makes his point and makes himself known and exposed, right? This is very deliberate on his part. He's ridden in on a baby donkey to hosannas, And then he comes into the temple the next day and says, "Here I am, I'm the one." He makes himself a target of the empire's pent-up tension and fear. That tension and fear that's been building in anticipation of Passover coming. And now Jesus is stoking those flames. He's not hiding. He is stoking those flames. My goodness, the Jesus way. The Jesus way, as we've been saying, is a way together. It is a palm-lined way. It is a way that leads to Jerusalem, and it is a way that disrupts business as usual for the sake of challenging the empire, interrupting business as usual to call for the liberation of all. That's the Jesus way, and I'm not going to lie, it's terrifying. This is not an easy way. It's a tough way, but this is also the way we've been shown. The way that we have been given by Jesus. Our palms then this morning line this way that we are on, reminding us that our path today with one another as we seek to follow Jesus is a path into the heart of the empire and the violent powers that be. So when Mennonites across the ages have spoken out against war, that has been a direct confrontation with the violent powers that be. Now, we will not get to Mark chapter 14 until Passion Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter this year, and Holy Week, which spans between Passion Sunday and Easter Sunday. We'll have a Maundy-Thursday service and a Good Friday service during that Holy Week. So we won't get to Mark 14 until then, but as a little preview, since today is Communion Sunday, before that final showdown with the powers that be, Jesus will celebrate and tell the liberating story of the Passover with his friends. And they will sit around a table together, and they will tell that story of liberation. They will remember God's faithfulness to their people in the past and God's faithfulness to the people in the present, and they will share a meal with one another. The disciples still not quite getting it, even though Jesus has been pretty explicit and clear about what this path of confrontation is heading towards. Disciples not quite getting it, but Jesus fully aware that he's coming into confrontation with the powers that are threatened by him. And so they sit around that table and they share a meal, and Jesus receives sustenance for his body and for his spirit. And we too are given that gift passed down through the generations. As Jesus said, whenever you do this, whenever you break bread and drink cup, remember me. Remember me. Remember me on this palm-lined path into Jerusalem. Remember me sitting around this table with my friends, receiving the sustenance that I need for this terribly difficult path ahead of me. The Jesus way is not for the faint of heart. So thank goodness that it is a way walked together and not alone. I am grateful this morning for y'all on the path with me, and also for the sustenance of body and spirit that we receive as we go out into our lives and seek to walk that way of Jesus into Jerusalem.